We now have a new challenge, perhaps the most monumental in recorded history. The opportunity to investigate a phenomenon that could change our destiny. A look at ourselves 1,000 years in the future.
We're going to examine and perhaps question some widely held theories of what may have happened to this Earth of ours. We're going to investigate some strange and bizarre events in the present. Unbelievable happenings as fresh as today's headlines. And more important, perhaps, we're going to take a searching and scientific look into the future. We're reaching more and more out into space. Perhaps, as we may learn, someone, something, somewhere in space is reaching out to us.
Who the visitors are, where they're from, and what they want is unknown.
Bigfoot was attracting national attention and was now rapidly becoming the most intriguing mystery on the North American continent.
Many people have seen ghosts and reported incredible experiences from the realm of the spirit world. Who can tell what this young man will see as he falls deep into a trance?
Welcome to After Dark Radio with your host, Ryan Alvarez.
And here we are with After Dark Radio. It is October 26, 2013, figure4online.com. /WrestlingObserver.com. It is our Halloween show here. Have we done a Halloween After Dark yet? I'm not actually sure. But we're doing one tonight. And unabashedly stealing from Art Bell and his ghost-to-ghost... what would you call it? I guess he can't call it ghost-to-ghost. It's now Spooky Matter on his new Dark Matter program. But for many, many years, he did Ghost to Ghost, and I believe they're still doing it on Coast to Coast AM. And I have recruited you, the listener, to send in your ghost stories. You can send them in, obviously, via email or some phone calls as well are going to be taken tonight. And the big question tonight is if my buddy Wang is going to call in. And I'll tell you more about Wang here in a second. But the phone lines are ringing. I got emails. I got some interesting news articles. So we're going to get into those as well. And let's not waste any time. To the phones, you are on After Dark Radio. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Salome. I'm calling from Washington.
Salome?
Yes.
Salome, what's up?
Hi, not much. Just kind of hanging out tonight.
Washington, D.C. or Washington State?
State.
Washington State. Where are you at?
In Vancouver.
Vancouver, B.C. No, Vancouver, Washington.
Vancouver, Washington.
Yeah. I'm paying attention. Yeah. What's on your mind?
So I have, it's kind of a strange story. About a month ago, I was 9 months pregnant, and my fiance and I were just sitting in my room, and I had just downloaded some lullabies, and
this is already creepy.
I played him one of the lullabies, and as soon as the music stopped, we heard a baby cooing as loud as I'm talking to you from the nursery, straight from the nursery, and it scared the crap out of him. I mean, I thought it was kind of amazing, though. I don't get scared about things like that, but he got really freaked out.
So to you, this was amazing, and to him, he was in a haunted house.
Yes, yeah.
Now the baby.
Mm-hmm.
When you listen to the baby cooing now, I mean, can you remember what the cooing was, and was it your baby or was it another baby?
You know, it sounds like a different baby.
Okay,
and
that's creepy.
My mom has kind of like a sixth sense type thing, and she said it was a good omen that the baby was already showing its personality or something. And, but that's just her take on it. Yeah. And then about two or three days later, I played the same lullaby again to show him that, you know, we're going to have to be listening to this a lot. And it ended again. And we heard a baby coo again, but in a different voice, you know, like a different type of sound. Like the first time it was just like, ooh. And the second time it was like, ah. And, but it was,
So this is obviously not part of the recording.
No, it's not part of the recording. No, because I listened to the song again just to make sure there wasn't any baby sounds, and there's not. No.
I hear him in the background. He's desperate for you to get this story here on the air. Still bothering him to this day? Tell me more about his reaction when he first heard the cooing.
We were sitting in bed, and he pulled the covers up, and he laid really far against the pillows and kind of pulled the covers over him.
So he hid under the covers.
Pretty much.
Oh, this poor guy. He's going to be hearing about this for the rest of his life.
Yeah, and then he started coming out with scenarios. He's like, what would you do if we went in the nursery and there was just a bunch of babies in there and they were all staring at us with crazy eyes?
Well, listen, like, if it makes
that would be scary.
If it makes your husband feel any better, I would have been scared half to death as well. I don't like the haunted babies crying. I don't like the haunted babies cooing. I don't like the haunted babies. But
well, it's even worse.
Yeah. Now
you know, he could have been crying.
Okay. The last question here. Now, why did this not bother you? This sounds horrifying.
Because the baby wasn't crying, and if it had been crying, that would have scared me, because that would have been something I think a little more sinister.
I see.
And, I watch enough shows that I know that, evil spirits can show up in the form of children to kind of trick you.
Yes.
You know, into thinking that they're benign.
Yes.
But it just wasn't scary to me. I don't know. I don't really get scared easily.
Well, Salome, I want to thank you very much for the call. That was an excellent story. And, I'm with the husband. I don't want to hear when Whitney is pregnant down the line. And the last time I mentioned that, I immediately started getting emails congratulating me, but she's not pregnant. But when the day comes, if I start hearing babies in the nursery before there are any babies in this house, it may be time for a new house. I don't like the haunted babies. Benign or not, I don't like the haunted babies. So Wang is a buddy of mine from the jiu-jitsu school. He just started a little while ago. And Wang is, he's quite the character. And we all, every Friday after jiu-jitsu class, we have Fiesta Friday, where we go to the local Mexican restaurant down the hill. Which, by the way, if you ever come to Bothell, Washington, you've got to go to Pasión Tequila, the best Mexican restaurant in the entire world. They make the best carne asada you've ever had. But we all go there Fridays, and we're all sitting around the table, and Wang is very wacky, and he is a big MMA fan. And so he mentioned that he had sent birthday wishes to Dave. He'd obviously read a lot of Dave on MMA fighting, and he mentioned that he had sent Dave a birthday message. And he was very sad that Dave had not responded back. And then he goes, well, you know, I understand these celebrities don't always answer their email. And I had a good laugh about that. But Wang was alerted to the fact that I do this show. And so he asked for the phone number. And I noted it was on the front page. And he goes to the website, so he found it. And so he threatened to call in tonight. And I think the only reason he's not going to call in tonight is because he doesn't have a ghost story. And Wang did not want to call it if he didn't have a ghost story. I tried to alert him that this is open lines and you can talk about whatever you want, but Wang likes to abide by the rules. So, anyway, we're going to take some more phone calls here, and I didn't get a lot of ghost stories. I asked everybody to send in ghost stories, but I didn't get a lot of them, and I think it's because we have done this show before. We did the ghost stories show, and I got a whole bunch of ghost stories. So I think that probably most of the people listening to this that have ghost stories have already written in. But I did get a few, so I'll read a couple of those, and hopefully we'll get people calling in as well, and we'll have a good show. So, a couple of things here. First off, a story that was sent to me. A Ukrainian astronomers, this is from The Independent, Ukrainian astronomers discover 1,300-foot asteroid heading for a possible devastating 2032 impact with the Earth. Chance of collision is 1 in 63,000. It is enough for the asteroid, which is 2013 TV-135, to be added to NASA's Torino scale for risky near-Earth objects. And for those of you unaware, there is a scale, the Torino scale. And it's a scale of 1 to 10. And 1, I guess, is little chance of danger. In fact, I've got the scale right here for those of you interested. A 0 is no hazard. A 1 is a routine discovery in which a pass near Earth is predicted that poses no unusual level of danger. Current calculations show the chance of collision is extremely unlikely, with no cause for public attention or public concern. And new telescopic observations very likely will lead to reassignment to level 0. That is a level 1. And this earthbound, potentially earthbound asteroid, as written about here in The Independent, it apparently deserved its own front page, big article, but it is a 1. And as noted, not much to worry about with the 1, and it will likely be downgraded to a 0. Now, a 10 is a certain collision. And in fact, 8, 9, and 10 are all certain collisions. Let me read 10 here. If it is a 10 on the Torino scale, a collision is certain, capable of causing global climatic catastrophe that may threaten the future of civilization as we know it, whether impacting land or ocean. Such events occur on average once per 100,000 years or less often. So the good news is, a lot of good news actually, the good news is the chances of a 10 occurring in our lifetime are very slim, provided we live a normal lifetime. Now, a 4 is a close encounter meriting attention by astronomers. Current calculations give a 1% or greater chance of collision capable of regional devastation. Most likely, new telescopic observations will lead to a reassignment to level 0. Attention by public and by public officials is merited if the encounter is less than a decade away. Now, the reason I mentioned 4 is because there has never been an asteroid, at least in the time that they have been covering this through the Torino scale, that has achieved a level greater than 4. So nothing in the entire time that they've had this scale has even gotten to 5, which is threatening. Now, there is a list here on Wikipedia of the number of objects with non-zero Torino ratings. And there are a bunch of them that are non-zero. There are a bunch of them that have been downgraded to 0. And this current asteroid that we are talking about is currently, as noted, at a level 1. So, not really too much to worry about, but certainly something to keep an eye on. And it says here, by the way, that due to exaggerated press coverage of level 1 asteroids, and by the way, this giant article on the Independent here would probably count as that. Due to this, the rewording of the Torino scale was published in 2005, adding more details and renaming the categories. In particular, level 1 was changed from events meriting careful monitoring to normal. So, nothing to worry about, everybody. It's possible. I believe there are only 2 asteroids that are currently above level 0 in the scale. Now granted, anything can happen. And we may wake up tomorrow and be told that in 3 months, we're in trouble. These things can come out of nowhere. You know, a lot of these are discovered by amateur astronomers. You know, there's a lot of space out there in space, I guess is the best way to term it. Should be obvious. But with all that space out there, I mean, obviously, we may not be monitoring where we need to be monitoring, and something could legitimately come out of nowhere. So, hopefully that doesn't happen, but right now, doesn't seem like any imminent threats, anytime in the foreseeable future. Let's jump into some of these emails here. Quiet night on the phone lines here. This is from Frank. He says, I have seen the footage of Bigfoot on Art Bell's page, and what is weird to me is it appears its head has long hair like a female human. This is in reference to a couple of weeks ago, the Patterson footage that was up on Art Bell's website. I think I put a link up on Twitter to the video. But they stabilized it, they smoothed it, and it was really amazing. I thought it was amazing. Gotten a lot of various feedback about it, but this guy watched it, and he thinks that it appears to have long hair like a female human. And I know that there are other people that have mentioned that as well. I don't know if I necessarily saw the hair, but as I noted, I mean, it was undoubtedly a female. And also had a couple of people mention that one thing that they found strange about the video was the bottom of the feet. The bottom of the feet are white. And they noted that, why are the bottom of the feet white? That doesn't make any sense. And my understanding, and I could be wrong, is that this alleged Sasquatch was walking around in an area that was very sandy and wet. And so it's possible that there was sand sticking to the bottom of the feet. Now, I'm not saying that it couldn't just be this right here being the... I just hit the mic. Sorry, everybody. I'm not saying that this is not evidence that perhaps it's a bad costume, but to me, let's think about this. Let's say you're making a Bigfoot costume. And you're making a Bigfoot costume, and the creature is going to be moving away from the camera. So, if that is your intention, and obviously, if this is a man in a suit, which obviously some people believe, they went to a lot of trouble to make this suit. Even people who believe that it's a man in a monkey suit usually will admit that, okay, that's a pretty damn good suit. So I just find it hard to believe that if it's a man in a suit, they would go to all that trouble to create an amazing suit. And then at the end of the day, they would screw up the bottom of the feet. I can't buy that. I think it's sand stuck to the bottom of the feet. I'm not saying there's no chance it's a man in a suit. Obviously, there's a chance. In fact, as I've grown up, there are a lot of things that I read about when I was young, you know, famous Loch Ness monster photos. You know, I read about these in the early 80s. And here it is in 2013, and as time goes by, you find out that, oh, man, that one was a hoax. And a very famous one, actually, is there's a very famous UFO photo. Oh, God, where is it from? McMinnville, Oregon. The McMinnville, Oregon UFO photos from the 50s. And this there's a UFO flying over a farmhouse, and they get two photographs of it. And when I was growing up, this was one of the holy grails of the UFO phenomenon, because they had done a lot of analysis of the photos, and they could not find a wire. And a lot of people were convinced, of all things, that these little photos from McMinnville, Oregon, were some of the best evidence that, whether they're UFOs or not, you know, whether they're aliens or not, or whatever they are, that this guy photographed something. And a couple of years ago, obviously, as time goes by, better and better technology is available for examining these photos. And they subjected them to new analysis, and guess what? Found a wire. And that made me really sad, you know? Made me really sad that I'd grown up, and for decades, these photos were just, you know, everybody talked about these photos in the UFO community. And after decades, somebody finally found the wire. And it's too bad. But anyway, So the Patterson footage, I just feel that if you're going to go to all the trouble and you're going to create a suit good enough that it has fooled very, very smart people for a long, long time, you're not going to screw up the bottom of the feet. That's just my theory. All right. What else do we have here in the email bin? This guy is saying the same thing. One thing that's quite discerning about the video is the bottom of the creature's feet and how they are so white. It looks like the soles of tennis shoes, especially as it looks like it covers part of the heel. And he noticed there was a typo as well. But again, I mean, you're really going to create a Bigfoot suit and then the guy's going to wear tennis shoes where he can see the soles as he walks across the sandy bar. I find that hard to believe. But who knows? Maybe he just really screwed up when he made that costume. All right, this is Mojo from the board here. Been busy. I'm just now catching up on After Dark. It looks like I missed the topic on local crimes. I've got two that maybe you can fit in the next show. In my last year in my hometown, I was dating the niece of the woman murdered in 1980. There have been no arrests in this case, and the case is long cold. That's not the story, however. In the fall of that year, a picture of my ex's aunt was posted on every stop sign and several of the local storefronts in town. That's weird. Also, one of my best friends in high school was the son of a pilot, and the family lived on a local airport, pretty common for crop dusters in a small town in Arkansas. When he was a baby, his family was held hostage. My friend has told me that it had to do with cocaine trafficking, which would make sense since well-known drug trafficker Barry Seal wound up setting up shop at another small town airport in Arkansas, this one in Mania. That is a weird local crime. Kidnapping as a part of a hostage situation as a result of cocaine trafficking. You don't see that every day. All right. Another person here talking about the Patterson footage. Just wanted to send my thoughts on the remastered footage. Surprisingly enough, in the end, the footage actually left me less convinced of its authenticity. While the body shape, hair, and general appearance of whatever was filmed that day holds up perhaps better than on the original, there was one thing that I found a little shady. And yes, here it is again. If you look carefully at the feet of the supposed Squatch as it walks, you should notice that the soles of its feet are incredibly white, which seems a little suspicious to me. It is suspicious for a number of reasons. The first of which is that it doesn't match the skin tone of the rest of the beast in any way whatsoever. And the second is that you would think that if it had been walking in the forest for its entire life, that there would be some sort of darkening of the foot. But the fact is that there wasn't, and the foot was so clinically white, it has me calling shenanigans. What I'm convinced of, however, is that if it was in fact costume all along, then it would blow away anything that the general public has seen during and since that time period. That is true. And again, I bring this up. If this was a hoax, and if it was somebody who created the most amazing Bigfoot suit that had ever been seen, you're telling me that he screwed up the bottom of the feet. The Squatch isn't just sitting there. That wasn't the idea. The idea was that they were on horseback and the Squatch was going to be chased away. So wouldn't you make sure that the Squatch had the proper feet? And again, like I said, I believe that the area where this was filmed was a sandy area and it was wet. And thus, it's possible. I mean, all of us have walked on a beach and you get in the water, you get out of the water, you walk on the sand, and then there's, you know, your the bottom of your feet are all sandy. So, I don't know. I watched it and that was my assumption, but maybe, after all these years, the Bigfoot, the Patterson Bigfoot, ironically, will be determined to be a hoax because of its big feet. Ironic would that be? All right. The Bigfoot Files on C4, Episode 1, The Yeti. I'm sure a lot of you have heard about this. New 6-part series being billed as the most comprehensive DNA test of Bigfoot ever conducted. It is following Brian Sykes of Oxford University, the first man to recover DNA from ancient human bone. He is behind the Oxford Luizan Collateral Hominid Project, aka Analyzing Bigfoot DNA. He is unfazed by the stigma of being a Bigfoot hunter, and apparently sees himself as more of an scientist of evidence. The Bigfoot appears to be the latest focus. So they go on this television show, which I believe may be airing in the U.S. soon. That is the impression I was given. I don't have that confirmed, but somebody mentioned that to me. Or there's a show coming up here in the U.S. which sounded very much like this one here, so I presume it's the same one, but I don't know. But they go to examine Yeti DNA, and it's very interesting because the DNA comes back, and as Neil writes here, the results came back not as a brown bear, as expected, but as an ancient polar bear believed to have become extinct 40,000 years ago. The DNA matched that of an ancient polar bear fossil discovered in Norway in the early 2000s. Evans speculates that the creature is an offshoot from the Pleistocene era, when the polar bear and brown bear became their own species. Sykes, however, believes the probable explanation is that the animal is a hybrid of a polar bear and a brown bear. To this day, the two species are believed to overlap in the Arctic North, and that the Yeti could very well be a hybrid brown polar bear yet to be discovered. And the show's claim, he says, is that they have provided scientific basis for clarification of the species of the Yeti. Now, problem with that. You got some DNA, and you examined it, and you came up with this hybrid polar bear, brown bear. That's what the sample was from, they believe. But that doesn't necessarily mean that the Yeti, or every sighting of a Yeti, was a sighting of this polar bear, brown bear hybrid. It is possible that not one single Yeti sighting was this brown bear, polar bear. So, or it could be that some sightings are of this hybrid species, and some sightings are of something else. So, I think it's really cool what they actually discovered. And I'm not even saying that I believe that there is a Yeti that is undiscovered, that is still out there, that is some sort of man ape. But I am saying that I've read a whole bunch of articles that have stated definitively that we now know what the Yeti is. And that is not the case. All we know is what these samples came from. Now, we don't know how many Yeti sightings are of this polar bear, brown bear hybrid. Could be a lot, could be none. Could be a mix of both. We don't know. But to say that we now know what the Yeti is, well, that's just not a factual statement. We don't know. But we do have some interesting DNA, which is very interesting, actually. And it would be really neat if it turns out that a hybrid animal, or actually in this case, the ancient polar bear, it would be really cool if it turned out that a polar bear that had been thought extinct for 40,000 years was, in fact, not extinct. Because a polar bear is a big animal. It is a big mammal. And if it turns out that there is this big mammal living today that we were completely unaware of until 2013, that we thought had been extinct for 40,000 years, that is some interesting cryptozoology right there. And it at least gives hope to those who believe in Bigfoot. that there might be another large mammal out there that also is undiscovered. So, very interesting. Bigfoot Files. And Mark Evans is the presenter. And Neil here notes that he is up on Twitter, at Mark Evans TV. So there you go. All right, this person here says he has attached a ghost image. This is from B.C. Clemens. It is a photo taken, yes, at a wrestling event. Unfortunately, the photo that I have been sent has been greatly stretched out. I'll read a story. The possible ghost is to the far right of this photo. I hope it's viewable, he says. Well, unfortunately, BC, it's not. Maybe if you maybe put it up somewhere and send me a link, and then I could tweet out the link and everybody could see it next week. He says he has a story from this location. I was told that something had happened. Here's the story. The building is empty and all the doors are locked. The wrestling show owners, husband and wife, are sitting in the back relaxing as the monitor that is used to watch the ring is on. The arena has bleachers, and above one set of said bleachers is a video camera. As they sat, all of a sudden, they notice on the monitor, a child's head pops up and looks right into the camera. Needless to say, they shot up and ran to the ringside area. This took about 5 seconds. Nothing there. So a ghost at a wrestling event. And BC here, unfortunately, the photograph that he attached is a very bad photograph. Unusable, actually. It's greatly stretched out. So BC, if you're listening, try and send me this photo again or post it somewhere. Send me the link and maybe I could tweet it out so everybody can check it out next week on the show. But thank you very much for the story. All right, what else do we have here? This person has a UFO video that he's sending me from YouTube. I'll just read this. I watched a video clip. It looks like a mini fireball coming down. But if you notice where it lands, you see like two blinking lights. But after rewinding, you do not see any blinking light in the area wherein it is coming into land. Plenty of cars nearby are driving by. None stop or speed away. So the people driving by at least do not seem frightened by it. Maybe you UFO to us viewers, but I do not think it was a flying saucer either. Let me check out this video here. Super bright UFO descends upon Iceland. Well, that is in fact super bright. And very weird. I suppose that could be a meteor. But actually, it is descending into the... What in the hell is it descending into? That is a very weird video. It is descending into the town, and then it disappeared. Well, that's weird. All right, everybody, I've got a video for you. I've got a video for you, and I'm going to put it up on my Twitter right now, at Brian Alvarez. So if you want to see this video, head up to my my Twitter. I'm going to do this live on the air. UFO video as talked about on the show. Thoughts? Call now. I'm trying to encourage people to call. Haven't got a lot of them tonight. All right. UFO video is tweeted. So if you want to check it out, go to my Twitter at Brian Alvarez. And it is up there right now. That is a weird video. It looks like it's just like a meteor coming down. You see it coming down from the sky, and you expect that it's going to go and drop below the horizon. But in fact, when it gets to where it should drop below the horizon, it does not. It keeps descending down over the town and then essentially into a bunch of houses and buildings. And you can see... You can see cars driving by. It's really weird. I don't know what to make of it. Let's see what some of the Let's see what some of these people say here. This person believes it could be space junk falling back to Earth. No. When you see where this lands, if this were anything like space junk, first off, we'd have heard about it. Second off, there's no like explosion on impact. And it's also falling way too slow. Because when you watch the cars drive by, it looks like this is a, I don't want to say time lapse, but the cars are moving at a fairly normal clip, and it is descending very, very slowly. So I do not have any earthly idea what in God's name this is. This person believes it is a parachute emergency flare. That's certainly possible. That was a flare, dude, this guy says. So, I suppose that could be. I've never actually seen a flare descend. It's certainly descending very slowly. That's the weirdest part of the whole thing. All right, it's up on my Twitter right now, so head up there and check that out. What else do we have here? All right. Oh, this person wants me to read Jesse Ventura's book. I heard part of an interview with Jesse Ventura about this book. And suffice to say, from listening to it, I did not have any desire to read his book. He came off in this interview as a guy who's just going to believe anything. As long as it has to do with his theory that JFK was killed by someone other than Lee Harvey Oswald. That was the impression that I got. If it did not fit his theory, he was not going to believe it. And if it did fit his theory, no matter how preposterous, he was going to go along with it. So maybe I'll read it someday, but just from listening to him talk about it, I certainly was not jumping at the opportunity to read that book. Got a lot of books, everybody, that I have not read. And many of them are going to be on the list before that book is. All right. Any thoughts on the James Heidrick story from the 80s? If you're not familiar with it, you can read an excellent piece about it on franticplanet.wordpress.com. And I presume you, the listener, can just Google James Heidrick story, get all the information about it. I don't know anything about this. I clicked the link shortly before the show went on the air, and the link was, it was a very, 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 very long story. So I'll probably read that later, and maybe we'll talk about it next week on the show. All right, back to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this, and where are you calling from?
Rock Hill, South Carolina.
Rock Hill? Who's this?
This is Chuck.
Chuck, what's up?
No, I was just wondering if you was a fan of Riley Martin, since you're a big fan of Coast to Coast.
Riley Martin?
Yeah, he always talks about the aliens and Beavians and all that. He's a regular on the Stern Show, too.
I actually don't know if I've ever heard Riley Martin on the show.
Oh, for real? I just figured you always would have.
Well, here's the thing. I have not listened to a lot of Coast to Coast AM in the last several years because I am not a huge fan of George Norrie. But if Riley Martin ends up on Art's show on the Dark Matter, I will absolutely listen to it. What does he talk about?
Just aliens. I hate to say it. Usually he's halfway drunk through all his shows and just, I don't know, just kind of out there about everything.
Usually he's halfway drunk?
Yeah.
I see
well,
he's got...
poisoning is what he calls it.
I see he's got list of seven types of extraterrestrial beings who reside in a mothership near Saturn.
Yeah, the coming of Tan.
Yeah, this guy sounds like something else. What do you think of him? Is he crazy or is he... What do you think?
He's just everywhere. He's fun to listen to. Like I said, he's on the Stern channel, so, you know, he's kind of whacked out anyway, so.
Do you have my email?
Sir?
Do you have my email address?
I sure don't. Well, I mean, I'm sure it's not too hard to find.
Yeah, brian@wrestlingobserver.com. Next time he's going to be on, because I have the Stern channel on the satellite radio, next time he's going to be on, please email me so I can go listen to it.
Okay, well, I'm pretty sure it's every Tuesday night at 5 o'clock. He does a weekly show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Tuesdays at 5 o'clock. Man, yeah. I've been out of the loop, apparently.
One other question. Are you a big fan of Stern? I've heard y'all mention him, you know, a few times over the years.
I don't listen to a lot of Howard Stern. I don't have anything against Howard Stern, but I just don't usually listen to a lot of them. Every now and then I'll flip through and listen to some of it, and some of it's entertaining and some of it isn't. It's hit and miss, obviously, when you're doing all that kind of, when you do that much radio, you're going to have some hit and miss. But yeah. I mean, obviously he's, you know, very successful for a reason.
Well, he's a game ball media, so.
That's right. That's right. Well, Chuck, I want to thank you very much for the call, and I'm going to check out the Riley Martin show.
All right. Appreciate you helping me pass time on my ride to work. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for the call. I really appreciate it. Riley Martin, where have I been? He's a self-described alien contactee, author, and radio host. He's the author of the book The Coming of Tan, which describes his life and his alleged abduction by aliens. He hosts the Riley Martin Show on Sirius Satellite Radio channel Howard 101. There you go. He had another weekly radio show, the official Riley Martin Radio Show, but he chose not to continue the show due to financial issues. What does that even mean? Does he have to pay to be on Howard 101? Martin has been rumored to be an alcoholic, it says here, due to his, this is on Wikipedia, by the way, what appears to be slurred speech during the course of each radio show he does on Sirius XM, even vomiting on air during a May 2012 program. But he denies these allegations. This sounds like something I need to listen to. See also, it says, Coast to Coast AM. If you are not listening to Art Bell's new show, and you're a fan of After Dark, I don't know what's wrong with you. It's so great. Although, the other night, and this was actually really sad, he had Timothy Good on, who's written a lot of really good books about UFOs. I haven't read all of them, but I read some of them from a decade or so ago. And I always thought he did a really good job. And he went on Dark Matter, and it was just not a good interview at all. He was all over the place. He kept plugging his book. And finally, it was one book plug too many. And Art Bell said, "We're going to be wrapping this up a little early. I want to thank you so much for being on the show." And he dumped Timothy Good. Dumped him off the show. Couldn't even believe it. And I was sad because I have fond memories of Timothy from my youth, reading all these books. And it's too bad. I don't expect him to be back on the show anytime soon. But the show is great. Free plug for Art here. It's on Sirius 104, shows Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday every week, starting at 7 o'clock p.m. Pacific, going till 11 o'clock p.m. So for those of you on the East Coast, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. on satellite radio. If you've got a Sirius satellite radio, there's no reason to not be listening to this. If you enjoy this show, I feel like I'm plugging the website in Wrestling Observer Live. If you like this show, you'll love Art's show, Dark Matter. So head up there and check it out. 4 days a week. Replays on the weekends. In fact, it's probably on right now if you're listening to this. So, yeah, check it out. All right, what else do we have here? So wondering if you have heard the Aliza Lamb story, the woman who was supposedly possessed and drown in a hotel water tank. I have included a link for you on the off chance you haven't heard about it. Oh, yes, I have. If you go online and Google Aliza Lamb, E-L-I-S-A, it's the first name, Lamb, L-A-M, you're going to see some weird stuff. This girl, I'll just read from thestir.cafemom.com, which is the link he sent. There are a million. If you go online, there's 8 million articles about this. Aliza Lamb was a 21-year-old Canadian tourist who was found dead in a downtown Los Angeles hotel's rooftop water tank. Workers at the historic Cecil Hotel near Skid Row made the gruesome discovery after hotel guests complained of low water pressure. And although there was a very strange surveillance footage video of Lamb inside an elevator, pushing buttons and behaving oddly, authorities ruled in June 2013 that her death was accidental. There is a very strange video, which you can see online, which was allegedly filmed by a surveillance camera shortly before her death, of her, in fact, acting very, very weird in an elevator. She looks terrified. She looks like she's running from somebody. And then she begins contorting in a very, very weird manner. And while she's in the elevator, the doors normally open and close when you're in the elevator, as you're all well aware. The doors stay open for 4 minutes. And when she finally gets out of the elevator, the door opens and closes as it normally would 4 times. Why did the door not close? Furthermore, how did she get up into the water tank? The water tank is locked. She would have had to have gone through 2 doors, I believe. 2 locked doors, which are, I believe there were alarms on the doors as well. How did she get in there? It's a great mystery. And you can see the footage of her in the elevator. And you can read all the articles online. And the Cecil Hotel, where this happened, is known for being a hotel where Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker, lived for several months in 1985. There was another serial killer who lived there in 1991. And in 1964, a woman was found dead in a ransacked room, having been stabbed, strangled, and raped by an unknown assailant. Hotel, home to a number of suicide deaths, from patrons who leaped from an upper floor window, including another who jumped from a 9th floor window in 1962, and killed a man who was walking below. So go online if you really want to get freaked out. And you will get freaked out. And Google Elisa Lamb. And see what there is to see. It's pretty creepy. Alright, this person has a ghost story. Strathcona Public School was for 7th and 8th graders. I attended it from 2002 to 2004. This is from Kevin. And there were many jokes and references to a ghost, but I didn't experience anything out of the ordinary during my time there. In 2008, the school closed down and was boarded up. In late 2009, I had a buddy who worked for the people who owned the building, and they gave him a key so that our group of friends had a gymnasium to play sports in during the colder months. So it was a dozen young adults from an old school, with an old school, to ourselves every night. We played sports for about a week and a half before we gave any thought to exploring the building. Since the building's gymnasium and some of the classrooms on the main floor are being used for whatever by the people that own the building, it still had already working electricity and water and everything. Our group found a bunch of fire extinguishers, ran to the music room in the basement since it was the biggest open area, and reenacted the hardcore matches of the late 90s, early 2000s. The fire alarm went off. What in the hell were you doing? We promptly stashed all the extinguishers, ran back upstairs to greet the fire department that had shown up. We were questioned, but we played dumb. The firefighter then said something that bugged us for a while. The station reported an alarm being pulled, and each and every one of us was in clear view of each other in the music room when the alarm went off. Further complicating matters was the fact that the firefighter told us that none of the alarms in the building had actually been pulled. Weird, yes, but not entirely unsettling. A few days later, after our group had mostly gone home, the remaining 6 of us played a trios game of hide and seek. My team hid in a big windowsill on the top floor and listened as our friend downstairs closed each and every classroom door, so they'd hear us if we attempted to evade them by doubling back around. These were big, heavy wooden doors that echoed throughout this empty building. The 3 of them made their way upstairs and found us in the window, and we laughed and joked around as we headed downstairs. Each and every door that we heard them close was wide open. Given that we were being loud, obnoxious teenagers, I could understand us not hearing a single door being opened, but someone would have to have been very quick and very silent to open up 8 of these big doors in the time that we came down the stairs without alerting us. I was also a little weirded out to find my phone had frozen while we were there in the windowsill. Everyone maintained their innocence and seemed pretty freaked out, so we called it a night and went home. We would go back there, of course, but I'll save the rest for another time. Haunted gymnasium. For some reason, like, haunted schools don't bug me so much. I don't know why. I don't know why. Maybe because I don't believe that schools would be haunted. I guess it's possible. I always figured hauntings were places where terrible things had happened. Which actually, now that I think about it, was definitely my junior high. I don't think it's haunted, though. All right. Do we have anything else? Oh, here's a classic. Every night I am visited by a ghost of you as a chatty Kathy string doll, where the only two things you ever say are, "How's it going, everybody?" and "This person here says..." You're a very dear, close, personal, longtime friend. Hustle Double. So dear and close, I have no idea who Hustle Double is. And those are the emails, everybody. And apparently those are the calls. Not a lot of them. Now, I'm hoping that next week things pick up. I don't know what we'll do next week. Next week is a day after Halloween. So I'm probably going to come up with a theme. Halloween will be over. I'll have to think of something. If anybody has any good ideas, Twitter. Let me know, at Brian Alvarez. Good themes for this show. I want a theme that a lot of people could respond to. We've had a couple of shows where you would expect we'd get a lot of feedback, but we really didn't. And one of those was the JFK show. That show just didn't work out. And then, as I've noted before, we had the show about, would you go to Mars and never come back? And my God, I was flooded. Absolutely flooded. So, I have to think of something that people can sink their teeth into, that I can get a lot of people calling in and participating. Because believe me, if we don't get participation, I can't do this show. I can't just sit here and babble for an hour. I need a topic. I need emails. I need phone calls. Only got 2 phone calls tonight. But I do want to thank Salome and Chuck for calling in. And those of you, the few of you that sent ghost stories, you can always send emails throughout the week. If you come across something and you're like, my God, this would be perfect for After Dark, Brian@WrestlingObserver.com, and make sure you have After Dark in the subject line. And I will read to as many of them as I will read as many of them as I can here on this show. And you can always call in. It is open lines. You know, if you didn't have a ghost story, you could have still called in tonight, which actually Chuck did. Open lines are always available. The phone numbers are up on the front page. And for those of you that have landlines or you do not have free long distance, don't forget we've added the 800 number, 855-478-4478. That's a toll-free number. Only if you have a landline or no free long distance. The rest of you, if you have free long distance, 425-482-1686. So, we are going to wrap it up. I want to thank you all for listening. It was a good time. We shall be back later on this weekend. Obviously, we got to talk UFC, and we've got to talk the Hell in a Cell show. So, a lot of shows coming up this weekend. So, get ready, everybody. And we'll talk to you again after a while.